thought Donovan was going to start to actually start on it this morning when he was landing the worship there. But the message that I've got this morning is, and it's very much, I know Pastor Stephen and Anami, they're in Fremantle this morning, and it's very much was a prophetic encouragement type type service this morning. And And even after this message, I just want to give time for the Holy Spirit to move, and I want to be able to pray for others this morning as well. So it's not going to be a long message, but I just want to feel like I really want to encourage you. I felt God put this on my heart a few weeks ago, and my gosh, the weeks go very quickly from when you've got something on your heart to from when you've got something on your heart then to actually have it ready to share on a Sunday. So I was working the last couple of nights. I'd been sort of just seeking God just to get it really together. And so the title of my message this morning is God is the God of the Breakthrough. How many here feel they need a breakthrough in some area of your life? Yeah, there wouldn't be... Many of us that don't need a breakthrough. I mean, I certainly put my hand up for that. And so this message, I'm preaching it to myself as well. So there are many areas in our lives we need breakthroughs. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your job situation. It could be in your finances. It could be in your spiritual life. It could be in your family. And the list goes on. So we always need, I believe, breakthroughs. But we need to be... See, God wants us to keep progressing. He doesn't want us to remain stagnant. He doesn't want us to stay still. Because if we stay still, we'll start to drift back. The scripture I want to read to you this morning, and we're just going to... I'm going to read this whole... There's a few... seven or eight verses... And then I'm going to go back and just go over them and just bring some things out about it. So this is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, and it's verses 17 to 25. And it's a story of David, so I'm just going to read it, then I'm going to come back over it. So when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" And the Lord answered and said, "Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands." So David went to Baalpazarim, and there he defeated them. As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baalpazarim, which means the Lord of the Breakthrough. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Once more the Philistines came and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, "Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly, because that will mean that the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike down the Philistine army." So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gaza. So I just want to go through a few of these verses today and just bring... Oh, thanks, Andrew. Yeah. Go through a few of these verses today and just bring some things out that I saw here. It's amazing, and my first point will be the enemy always comes, but I'll just go through this first. So when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king, they went out in full force to search for him. Don't you realize that David had been anointed 3 times previously? He was anointed by Samuel when he is really just a young boy. You know, they had to search for him and bring him out of the fields because he was looking after the sheep. And Samuel came and tipped the oil over him. And David was anointed to be king. So he was anointed to be king, but he didn't become king. There was a work that had to take place within David's life. And he could have... And it's amazing sometimes that we can, in our own lives, get ahead of God. That we can know that God wants us to do something, but we step out not in our time, not in God's timing, but on how we want to feel and do something, and it doesn't work out. We will fail. But so David didn't become king straight away. Saul was still king, and God had to obviously do things within David's life. And in David's life, we see that he defeated Goliath with a stone. Goliath fell, but then he took Goliath's sword and cut his head off. And maybe the Philistines thought, well, we know what this David can do. Maybe we better just get rid of him now. The second time that David was anointed, when he was anointed king of Judah. And so this was the third time now that he was actually going to take up the throne of king of Israel. So what's the enemy do straight away is that he comes. The moment you have one small victory in your life, you have a little bit of a breakthrough. It could be in prayer, it could be in a healing, it could be in something else. It's amazing how the enemy comes back. And I know in my life, certainly at times of prayer, that I've had a breakthrough and I thought, or something has happened and I know that something's happened. And it's amazing how easy it is to go back and relax. It's almost like take your hand off the sword for a bit. Have a rest. And when you do that, the enemy will advance against you. As I said, God wants us to keep advancing forward. In the moment that I'm not advancing and I stand still, then I'm going to allow the enemy to come in and bring walls around about me. So the enemy came, and what did they do? They spread out across the valley of Rephaim. They spread out. So I don't know if you've seen movies, I suppose, like what can I think of? Braveheart possibly, or Gladiator or something like that. But you know, when they form their army out, they bring it right across the whole valley. So all you see are all these men right across the valley. So the Philistines marched up. So in this instance, they were there to intimidate. Look at this big army. It's spread right across like a wall. How are we going to defeat them? What are we going to do? You'd think David, who's a man of war, who'd been in several battles, would just rally up his troops and say, let's go in. And sometimes we see something like this and we think, oh, look, I should be able to sort this out. I'm going to sort this out. I'll get someone else to give me a hand and we'll get in and do it. But David, when they came out in full force, David heard about it and he went down to a stronghold. So he went down to the stronghold. You know, who's the rock that's unshakable? Who's our sure foundation? That's the Lord Almighty. And we need to go to the hymn. We need to go to the stronghold. And we need to inquire, God, what do I need to do in this circumstance? What is it that is hindering me? Or what is it, how do I need to attack this situation? What is the strategy, Lord? So I'm not just relying on my own ability, but I'm hearing from what God, how God wants me to attack it. So David, after all this time, would still go back and seek God. And so he inquired of God, "Shall I go and attack, and will you deliver them into my hands?" And the Lord said, "Surely I will deliver them into your hands." So when David went there, he defeated them. And as he said, "As the waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." You know, I don't know if any of you have seen those. I've seen a couple of war movies where the Allies are wanting to blow up a dam. And so there's this big, obviously there's a wall of water behind a big dam. And I can't remember what the movie was, but I remember they got down and they planted the dynamite down in the bottom of the dam, and it was quite a mission and everything. And then they blew it and they waited, and nothing seemed to happen. It just seemed to still, maybe we didn't put enough dynamite in or something. But suddenly, as the weight of the water, once that structure had been fractured a little bit, the weight of the water would start to form just there'd be a crack appear, and there'd be just a little trail of water that would start to come out. But soon, soon that water would break through and break all the concrete away, and that whole dam would disappear, and all that water would go down and flood down through the valley. That's a sign of breakthrough happening. But the enemy will always come back. Even though they had a victory there and they called it God of the breakthrough, they had a victory there. And the Philistines abandoned all their gods, all their idols, and David and his men carried them off. But once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So the Philistines came back. The enemy will always come back. You know, you can have a victory, but he's always going to come back again. What did you learn from the last victory you had? A victory isn't the war won. A victory in a battle is only part of what's going to come ahead. And every battle that we have and every victory that we win, we build our faith up that we can take on the next one. We can take on the next one. But if I think, well, I've won a victory there, and that's all I'm going to do, well, the enemy's going to come back. So then David inquired of the Lord again. He just had a victory. You think, well, we've done it once, we can do it again. The same. But this time, so David again inquired of the Lord. He didn't go and do what he did last time. He sought God's face first. And that's really a key. We need to seek God. And so the Lord answered, "Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and tack them in the front of the poplar trees." So if he'd gone and done what he did last time, they may well have been defeated. But he heard from God, so it was circling around behind them this time. And as soon as he heard the sound, as soon as you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the poplar trees, who do you think that is? Marching in the tops of the poplar trees. Do you think that would be God's angel army marching in the tops of the poplar trees. So there is God's army marching above. And then he says, because when you hear that sound, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So God was doing his part and David was doing his part. So they were working together in unison. So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. So he had another great victory. And really those victories came through seeking God. Through seeking God. If there was ever a time, I think, in the world today, is as Christians, we need to be seeking God. There is so much happening around about us, so many different sounds, so many different things we can look at, and so many different views, that we need what God is saying to us in these times. So the first point I had, and we probably covered it, was Satan will always come. And Donovan read that scripture out, or spoke that scripture out this morning, that the thief will always come to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. So that's what the devil's mandate is, to rob, steal, kill, and destroy from us. So how does he do that normally? He wants to restrict us. He wants to confine us. I know that there's areas just in my own thought life where the devil has confined me just in my thinking. You know, this wall's been built up around in a certain area that I need to break through in, because they're restricting really how far I can go with God. I need to overcome this situation. You may be battling with just any types of things. You may be battling with an addiction or some other areas. And it's like, how can I ever get over this? All I see is like this wall around about me. I'm struggling here. We need God's strategy to help us to break through in that area. What the devil wants you to do, and it's interesting, God works in seasons, the devil works in cycles. If he gets you on that cycle, and it's like all we do is keep going round and round and round. We have some good days, but then we're not actually advancing anywhere. We look like we're busy, but we're just really going round and round, not producing, not doing anything, and we're just confined in our own space. We're in this position. We're never really going to touch anyone. We're never really going to look out really beyond what we see around about us. And don't think I'm perfect from this, because I'm not. I know there's areas that I need to break through in my spiritual walk, and just in areas that I've allowed the devil to feed in my mind that has sort of perhaps put me in a place where I'm hindered now till I actually break through. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to hinder us. He wants to make things look impossible. But who knows that we serve the God of the possible? With God, all things are possible. If we believe, if we trust him. So we know the enemy's always going to come. So what must we do? We must seek the Lord. You know, God works in seasons. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, what's it say? I didn't write it down. I thought that'll come to me straight away. I'll just read it. So there's a time and a season for everything. I think that's how it goes, something like that. 3 verse 1. Yeah, to everything there is a season, and there is a time for every purpose under heaven. So you may be in a bit of a barren season, but you're not going to stay there. There's a time that you're going to come, and there's going to be refreshing, and there's going to be a time of growth, and there's going to be a time of planting. There's going to be, so with God, it's seasons. And in those seasons, there's always growth taking place. I did write it down. To everything, there's a season, a time, and a purpose under heaven. See, God is unchangeable. He was, He is, He will. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. He is for you. He's not against you. He wants the best for you. How you see God is really the God that you get. So we need to see God as a loving, caring Father who wants the best for His children. He's not a hard taskmaster. But God wants the best for you. And the best for you is to be able to grow and advance. Not remain in the same place, going around and around that area that the devil has confined you in and stopped you from breaking out to a new place. He is our rock, He is our sure foundation. God is for you. He is for you. He wants you to advance and have momentum from faith to faith, to glory to glory. So there's always advancement. It's like He wants us to come out into the depths. The further we step out, the more we have to trust. You know, we can hang around in the shallows and be comfortable, because a lot of it, we're just relying on our own. Got a little bit of God, but I'm relying on my own strength and my own abilities. But when we step out further, we have to trust God in a far greater way. God wants the best for us. And my last point is breakthrough will come. Breakthrough will come. Breakthrough will come when I decide to make a change. When I've had enough. When I've drawn a line in the sand and said enough is enough, I'm going to change the situation. I'm not allowing the devil to confine me anymore in this area of my thought life. I'm going to get the word of God and I'm going to speak and I'm going to start decreeing it. Whatever, if it's an addiction, well, I'm going to ask for your help. Help me to start to overcome this. I've had enough. When I allow to breakthrough will come when I allow God to take control. Breakthrough will come when I don't give in and quit. My gosh, this job of mine, I don't know how many times I've rethought these thoughts so many times. I might have a couple of good days, and then the third day, oh gosh, I'm going to give up this job. I've had enough. Blah, blah, blah. I've had enough. These are the replaying over my mind, and I get home and I moan to my wife and say, "Oh, this is, you know." So, well, if it's not working, well, maybe you have to look for something else. But I've thought, no, I've got to keep persevering. I've got to keep persevering. I'm going to keep persevering. Keep going for a bit longer. See what God will do. What is God doing in my life at the moment? You know, He can be doing something in me that, in my character, or even in my in my spirit, that's going to benefit me. I might not see it in my natural mind. I'm thinking, oh man, all these problems I have and everything. But God is doing something on the inside of me, and I need to keep persevering and not give in and not quit. You know, I love the story of the woman with the issue of blood, and I know it's a great faith scripture, but for that woman to get her breakthrough, she faced a number of obstacles. One was, first of all, getting out of the home that she was in, in the condition that she was at, because she shouldn't have been out. And then the next obstacle she faced was the great crowds that were around about Jesus. There's no way that she could just walk up and grab Jesus' garment. She had to do something. There was an obstacle there, but she had to push through. And she pushed through, and when she pushed through, she managed to grab his garment. So she didn't give in. It would be very easy in her situation to get there and think, oh gosh, I've got down here. I can't even see Jesus because all the people are around about him. What if they see me in the condition I'm in? What's going to happen to me? But she didn't look at the obstacle. She was focused on Jesus. And that's really the key. We can focus on the obstacles, or we can focus on Jesus. And so she was healed. And I think of Zacchaeus, you know, the tax collector, little short guy. He was running along. He wanted to see Jesus, but he was short. And there were crowds again everywhere around about. So what did he see? He saw a sycamore tree. Again, he had obstacles, but he wanted to push through. He wanted to see Jesus. So it took some effort on his part. He had to do something. And that was to climb up that tree. Climb up that sycamore tree. And he gets up there, and what happened? He got a breakthrough, didn't he? Jesus stopped. Said, I'm going to come to your place and have dinner with you. Transformation in his life. But he could have looked and thought, oh, too many people around, too hard. And if you're like me, I like everything easy. I think, God, I just wish it was easy. You know, I just want to rest up. I just want to chill back. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to go and work now. I just really want to have the day at home and rest. I like things easy, but I realize that life isn't easy. But we've got a Savior who walks with us, and he helps us in those times. You know, I've got to rely on God's strength and not my own. And I'm just thinking of a scripture in Isaiah 40. I think I read it this morning. I didn't give you this one. Verse 28, it says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall be utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount on with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Elder, can you come? They shall walk and not faint. In Galatians 6:9, verse 9, it says, and let us not grow weary, become fatigued while doing good, for in due season, God's season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. And that's the key as Christians. We don't want to ever lose heart. You know, never lose heart. If we're feeling that down and that low, we need to gather around about others and just share how you're feeling so others can pray. Because we all go through things. None of us are exempt from being, none of us are super spiritual that we don't face things and go through those battles. We need to keep pushing into God and trusting God, but being around a community of believers and being in church, It's the best thing you can be. Connect groups. So good, you get encouragement. You get built up. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just going to allow... Just before we close, I really would... would really like to pray for people this morning, especially in that area of breakthrough, that you've been struggling with things for some time. Because I really believe the presence of God is here to help break you through. You know, you don't share a message like that without God's impartation afterwards. So if you're struggling in some areas, that can be between you and God. But I just want to pray and just release the anointing of God to help break you through. Just in these moments, we haven't quite gone over time, I think, maybe nearly, but if you just would like prayer this morning, please come. I'll pray for you. I really like to do that. Otherwise, if no one wants to come, I'll just pray a general prayer and we will be dismissed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Rabashi Kiridi Basain. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that you are the God of the breakthrough, Lord. Father, Lord, that you're going to align and shift and move things, Father. Father, I pray for Donovan right now, Lord. Father, I just speak breakthrough, Father, into the areas, Lord, that he needs his breakthrough, Father. Oh, Lord God, Father, I thank you